We're celebrating today the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. And there seems to be a lot of confusion in our church these days about what the sacraments are all about. So our reflection today is, of course, includes the Blessed Sacrament, but probably more of just a general reminder of what sacraments are all about for us as Catholics in such a confusing time. Throughout the entire Old Testament, covenants were established. I mean, we refer to the Old Covenant and the New Covenant as if there's just the one. But every time God established a new leader to lead his people, it was sealed in a covenant. Covenants are not contracts. Contracts are like a fee for service. I'll do this if you do that. But a covenant is, I will do this, and the other says, and I will do that, and you hope they fulfill it, but even if they don't fulfill it, the person of character will fulfill it. And we see this contract being made with Moses in our first reading. Contracts or covenants are always made with sacrifice too. So Moses goes and gets the animals, slaughters them, and buckets of blood. One that's sprinkled on the altar, representing God's participation in this covenant, and then the other sprinkled on the people, representing our participation in the covenant. Now, being creatures, we know that we always fail. Always. It's a guarantee. Every single time God tried to establish a covenant in the Old Testament, we blew it. In the new covenant, the covenant of Jesus Christ is a little bit different. Because not only is a covenant made, but through the sacraments, he gives us a grace to actually fulfill our end of it, if we so choose. That's the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. The old covenants were always established in the blood of an animal, which, you know, it may take something out of your pocketbook because it's always the best, the first, you know, which in their society was commerce. So it cost something as far as your finances, but it didn't cost here. And this is what Jesus shows us, that the sacrifice God wants is not of blood from animals, but from us. A sacrifice of our heart, a contrite heart, a spirit of repentance, an acknowledgement that we do not have all the answers or have a right to dictate to God how things should be. And so from the beginning of time, when you and I stepped out of the relationship, out of the garden, because we grasped at things we shouldn't have grasped at, God has been pursuing his people, and he has done this through covenants. And he does it right up to our day. Every single time we enter into a sacramental encounter, it's a reminder that God is in covenant with us. God is still pursuing us. God is still begging us to open our heart, to turn to a spirit of repentance, to change from our former ways into his way. To stop trying to define everything according to our standards and accept the definitions that God has given. So, you know, we're born in sin, and our destination is dust permanently. And it's only by God's grace that he offers us this sacramental life. Now, we know sacraments are visible signs of an invisible reality instituted by Christ to give grace. And we could make a distinction between small sacraments, small s, and large sacraments, the capital S, the seven, which we're accustomed to and we live out, and then there's small sacraments that we encounter throughout our life, but the seven ones that are instituted by Christ and is our way of life are meant to give us a vision, to change a perspective from what we had once before to a new way of looking at our world and how God operates within this world. So, born in an inheritance of sin and fallen nature, God offers us baptism. And baptism isn't us dedicating ourselves to God. This is not about us. This is all about God and what God does to us if we open ourselves and allow it to happen. So in baptism, he, as it were, sticks his hand into us and reconfigures a fallen nature so that it has now a capacity or a facility to hold grace. Didn't have that previous to baptism. God can insert grace and it just goes right out. But now all of a sudden we have this capacity. It's one of the three sacraments that leave this indelible mark. It can't be undone. We can't go back to being the way we were previous to baptism. We can be bad Christians, but we can never stop being Christian because God did it to us. Regardless of how we feel or how we want to identify, it doesn't matter. Our opinion doesn't matter. God's action takes precedence. And God in his goodness knows that even his children will fall. So he gives us the sacrament of reconciliation to enter back into relationship, right relationship with him. But again, this is not superstition and it's not magic. It is something that God does to us, but it will only take effect to the degree that we believe it and open ourselves to it. If we're just stubborn and closed off, then like what he always did with the scribes and Pharisees, he'll call us out. You whitewashed sepulcher. You hypocrite. You destroyer of the ancients. Jesus was never afraid to publicly call out those who were resistant to grace. It's controversial right now in our church. You know, what are the sacraments? Well, our Holy Father says the sacraments are for sinners who are trying to repent, which is different than a sinner who wants to stay in their sin. Right? Can you see that distinction? There's a difference when someone is saying, I'm trying, Dad, I'm trying, and I keep falling, but I'm trying, versus, don't tell me how to live my life, Dad. I'm right. And this is what's going on right now within our church. We have forgotten what the sacraments are about. They're not, we have no right to them. It's a pure gift. And the goal of the gift is to bring us closer to the Lord. Not so that we can stay where we are in darkness, fallenness, or error. It's so that we can come into the life of God. And so confirmation, we know, gives us the tools, the gifts of the Spirit so that we can actually offer witness to the world. And the ultimate sacrament, which we're celebrating today in a special way, the very body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ hidden. Just like his divinity was hidden in Nazareth as a baby, so too his presence is the same here. Hidden. Natural eyes can't see it. Natural eyes didn't recognize the baby in the manger either. Oh, isn't he cute? Gucci, Gucci, goo. And they failed to see this is God's only begotten Son. How many of us will fail to see that this is God's only begotten Son? Poured out the sacrifice, his own sacrifice, from being faithful to the Father in all things, willingly gives himself over to a people who may or may not recognize him. And he still does it because the covenant says so. I will be faithful regardless of what you think or do. What a gift we have. But what happens when we approach it with an obtuse spirit? I mean, it's an insult to God, certainly. But God can handle it. He has big shoulders. The bigger problem is what it's doing to us. The sin of sacrilege. adding insult to injury. Knowing full well we shouldn't be coming forward, we should have gone to confession first or whatever, and we still come up because, well, we don't want people to think something bad about us. Hey, there is something bad about us. That's why we're in church. We need God's help. We're not done. We're not perfected. We're in process still. Who cares what people think of you? I'm fat. I don't care. Say what you want. I'm going bald. Yeah, whatever. Not the brightest bulb in the box. So? The sacraments of service. Matrimony. Holy orders. There's a sacrifice that has to be part of it. If there is no sacrifice, there is no marriage, right? I think I'm talking to people who know this. If the husband is not willing to die to himself and the wife is not willing to die to herself, then the two are not going to become one. You may have two people living in the same house, but they're not one. A true marriage takes death in order for one to come out of that. Two die and one comes out. You know this. You live it. The priesthood has no sacrifice attached to it. I've discovered that since I've been at IHM. You people really know how to throw a party. This is great. I'm so appreciative. And, of course, the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, which, again, is not magic or superstition. We're not telling God, you have to heal this person the way we want them healed. What it's saying is, Lord, one of your missionaries is down because of illness. They're struggling to bear witness to you. Would you help them? And then we stand back and let God do whatever he wants to do. Sometimes it may be physical, miraculous healing. Our history has thousands of them. But sometimes God may say to the sick person, your witness is to bear your suffering like my son did for the sake of the world. Unite yourself to his cross. God provides for us. The question is are we entering into the gifts he's given to us? And are we doing it on his terms? Or are we still, like Adam and Eve, thinking that we can tell him how it's going to be? It never ends up well in that scenario. So, today he gives us his very body and blood. And the whole point of it is that you and I become what we eat. That we now become Christ to our world. Which means calling out error. Which means being a light. Which means serving. Which means giving yourself as food to someone who is dying of starvation. We can't give what we don't have. So let's ask the Holy Spirit today, as we focus on the sacraments, to help us enter into the mystery that God has laid before us. Things are not as they appear. We all know that. We see one thing, but there's a lot more hidden behind it. Which is why God tells us we do not judge intentions. We judge actions. You will know by their fruit. You judge the fruit. But the intentions, only God knows. Only God knows what led a person to the place they're at. So we ask the Holy Spirit to help us today to become people of integrity. Sacramental people, Eucharistic people, that we be for others as Christ has been for us.